I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. And we were looking at this on Wednesday. And we can pick up from verse 1. And I really want everybody to really pay attention to this today. Let the Word of God impact your thinking. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this is what I want to focus on. And verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me read a few other translations. The God's Word translation says, don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Like the New Living Translation, don't copy. There's a lot of this, man, I'm telling you. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. We're different. Why am I different? I'm a brand new creature in Christ. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is the Passion Translation. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions. See, sometimes we say, well, I don't copy this, but maybe you copy the opinions of the world. What do I mean by that? Everybody's smoking that. Everybody dresses like that. Everybody does this or that. That's the opinions of the world. It says, don't stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through the total reformation of how you think. Wow. Our minds can be totally reformed. You might think, how's that possible? Well, we'll look and see. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. So let's go back and let's look at the King James. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can see here that transformation happens by how? The renewing of the mind. And the renewing of the mind comes from the letting of the Word of God in. What does it say? It's the entrance of his Word bringeth light. So this transformation that takes place, as we let the Word of God in, it will change my thinking, my way of thinking, my opinions, my attitudes, my attitude about things in this world, and how I see things, how I may love people, how I may interact with the world in general. It's going to change my thinking. I'm going to begin to take in God's word, or we could say God's thoughts. And as I begin to let his thoughts come in and it begins to change my way of thinking, I begin to think like him. I begin to have the mind of Christ. And that transformation takes place By how? Renewing, the renewing of my mind. By constantly thinking on his thoughts. Why? Because the word of God is quick and powerful. It's possible to change my thinking because his word is powerful. It's alive. It's quick. It's full of life. What did Jesus say? My words are spirit and life. So it can change my thinking. Oh, yes, it can. See, here's an answer for some. When we got born again, my spirit was changed. It didn't need to be transformed. It was changed into the very righteousness of God. It was changed. But your mind and your body wasn't. And so that's why a lot of people struggle. They're struggling with things. They're wondering, why is this habit still holding on to me? Why is this thing gripping me? And you pray, you say, God, take this from me. He's not going to take it. This transformation, this change is going to come about by you, what? Feeding on the word of God. And it will change your thinking. It will change how you think about yourself. This is why people struggle with even the subject of righteousness or being in Christ. They say, well, you know, you say, well, yeah, I'm in Christ, but I sure don't feel like it. I don't look like it. And so people, how they think affects their believing. If you can't believe that you're an overcomer, it's because your thinking hasn't been renewed. And this is where people struggle. They'll come up and say, pray for me. Help me get rid of this habit. Pray for me. Pray for me. Please pray for me. Praying's good, but praying's not the answer. Because you cannot override the word of God and say, well, we're just going to pray and that's going to handle it. No, we have a part to play in this. Individually, we have a part to play. I'm not saying prayer is not going to help. I'm not saying that. So don't walk away and say that I said that. I didn't say prayer wouldn't help. But you've got a responsibility here which says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. What does that mean? That word transformed means metamorphosis. In Greek, it says metamorpho-ou. It's really metamorphosis. That means changed into something else. Just like a caterpillar is changed into a butterfly, I'm changed into another person. How? My thinking's changed. I become Christ-like in my thinking. My thinking has changed. It's not the same anymore. I don't think that way anymore. See, I've been what? Transformed, changed. And that comes about by the meditating on and the thinking on and the, you know, the letting God's word get inside of you. As I, you know, if you're just coming once a week and you're not touching the word of God, you're not thinking about it. I mean, there's scripture and we'll touch on it, but God says, even in Psalms and Proverbs, that he said, the wicked doesn't even have, they don't follow after God. There's no thought of God in their mind. See, you've got to have, what does he say? What does Proverbs say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He wants us to think about him. He wants us to meditate about him or on him and his word. See, this is what we're talking about. And when you think about it, that this word be not conformed to this world, anybody who's in the business world, anybody who's in sales, you notice billions of dollars are spent on what? Marketing. To do what? Influence your thinking so that you conform and think, hey, I need that. I'm going to look good in that. I got to buy that. I like that. I'm going to get that. I need to own that. So they try to influence your what? Your mind. Your thinking so that they want you to buy something. They want you to conform to some thought. You need this. And that's what they do. Or you could say the other thing, there's billions of dollars spent on self-help. Right? To help you think different. Well, we've got it right here. It's free. All you got to do is pick it up and read it and let it in. And it'll change your mind. It'll change your thinking. You will be free. Free indeed. Free from the bondage and things that have held you back. Maybe you're not on drugs, but maybe your thinking is, I'll never be able to get that. I'll never be able to have that. I'll never be able to do that. Yes, you will. See. So this transformation takes place by the renewing of our minds. And again, we're involved in that process. Here's the other thing. When you think about the world and the world pressuring us to conform, peer pressure didn't just end when you graduated from junior high or high or college. Peer pressure is all the time. On your job, in going anywhere, doing things. Peer pressure is constant. To make you think, you know, there's something wrong with you because you don't own this, wear this, do this. I remember when I was working in corporate America, I got saved. And, you know, they wanted to go out and eat and do what? Tip a few. Of course, after work, not on lunch. But I said, I'm sorry, I don't drink. And man, they give me the business. Something wrong with you because you don't tip one. I said, I'm sorry, I just don't drink. And you know what's interesting? There's a lot of people that don't drink that aren't saved. There's a lot of people that don't drink. They just don't drink. So don't feel like you're some oddball because you're not joining in. Or what? Conforming. Huh. So we are different. We're different. We're in Christ. And if we let the Word of God get inside of us, it will change your thinking. You will think like a winner. You will think like an overcomer. You will think different. You will not think restricted. I can't do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's where the thinking comes in. That I can do this. I can overcome. See? And that transformation is how? By the renewing of our minds, not prayer. I'm just telling you this straight up here. This is the way it is. So we're not to conform. We're nonconformists where it comes to the world. This word conformed, it means to conform to the same pattern. It means to conform oneself, their mind and character, to another's pattern. See, he said what? He said, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. This is where our thinking comes in. This is where our thinking comes in. So this transformation is key here. So we need to have a continual diet of God's thoughts. A continual diet of his thoughts. So here's my question. Do you want to be changed? See, we're changed. This isn't one and done. It says we're changed from what? This is a good class. We are changed from glory to glory. So this isn't something that just happens and then, okay, I've arrived. You are continually changed. So that means you're growing. Right? Let's look at a scripture. You know, we talk about thinking and thoughts. A lot of scripture flooded in my mind this weekend, or just preparing this. Go over this chapter in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about the love of God, but you can go over there and find some things about thoughts and thinking right over here. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Look at verse 11. Talking about the love of God here, but then look at this. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I did what? I thought as a child. Your mind was thinking like a child. But when I became a man, I, not God, I put away childish things. That means we're supposed to have, there needs to be what? A transformation, a change in my thinking. I'm not to think like a child anymore. I'm to grow up and be a man and do what? I put away the thoughts. See, we have a part in this. Everybody getting a hold of this? What does it say? Same thing in that same chapter. Go up and look at verse 5. It says, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. See, we're not to think as a child. See? God's expecting that we grow up. God's expecting that we have a transformation that takes place. And that's why I appreciate, even at the foundation of this ministry, there was an effort made. I know the pastors made an effort. Read a chapter a day or read the scripture daily. Meditate upon the word. That helps us do what? Grow up spiritually. The entrance of his word brings light, but it also affects this mind and this heart, how I believe, how I see myself. Right? Glory to God. So now here's some thoughts. This is where we wanted to kind of land today. You can go over to Romans chapter 8. It's a lot to share, so we're just going to kind of just touch on this a little bit. Hope you get something out of it. But here's the question I would ask you. Where do thoughts come from? Or let me say it another way. Thoughts are not just something wandering around in your thinking. Thoughts are spiritual. And thoughts, or let's say another way, words, or we could say God's word are his thoughts. Are they not spiritual? Yes, sir. The word of God, the thoughts of God are quick and powerful. So words are spiritual. And what you think on, see, is spiritual. Now it can come from, think about this. Now when we look at, you know, just in the whole world itself, we have music. They sing words. This is one of the things Pastor Clinton was so key on. He wasn't stuck on the style of music. He was stuck on the words. What are the songs saying? Didn't matter whether it was a style of music. I don't care whether it's rap, country, whatever it is, but what are they saying? What are the lyrics that will cause you to think a certain way and to conform to something? How people write books. There's words. People write plays and movies. They're words. But they're not just words. They're thoughts. They're the intents of someone's heart. See? And so when we touch that, when we think that, so we could actually say words are containers of someone's thoughts. They're thought containers. Right? That's what they are. Words are thought containers. They're the thoughts from someone's heart, the intentions of someone's heart. And they're conveying that in music or movies or plays or poems or whatever. They're expressing their intents with words. And they're spiritual because we are spirits made in the image and likeness of God. God had some thoughts. What did he say in Genesis 1? Light be. And it was. But before he spoke, those thoughts were in him. So words are spiritual. You think on good thoughts, that's good. You think on some bad thoughts. You know, think about this. You know, when we talk about thoughts and how they can affect us, you could have a thought of something that can make you just full of joy, and it can affect your feelings. You can't touch a thought. Thoughts have no, what do I say? It's spirit. You can't touch it. You can't see it. It's spiritual. But thoughts affect our feelings. You can have a thought of something and it can make you feel joyful and happy. And you can have a thought that just maybe just make you feel sad and depressed. Or you could have a thought that's like, I ain't getting on this plane. No way. Just the thought of it. Or some people getting the thought of going up an elevator is like terrifying. So the thought of something can affect how you think and how you act, you see. How much more God's word? His thoughts will change my mind, change my thinking, you see. So thoughts are spiritual. So, I'm going to say it's not natural. That's what I'm trying to say. Thoughts are not natural. It's not just something you just have in your brain. It's spiritual. There was a source. It was either a good source or a bad source. Or in other words, somebody was influenced to write that from either good or bad. You know, I was thinking about this. How many have ever been to an art gallery? Some of us have. I've been to this New York City. You go in, you look at some of these paintings and say, they were out of their mind. Who the heck painted this? That's full of demons and devils. That's crazy. I mean, I was recently. I'm looking at it. I said, I ain't even looking at this. This is just nuts. Whoever painted this, that's not full of peace. It didn't bring me joy. It didn't uplift me. It was squirrely. That's all I'm telling you. So who influenced that person to express and paint that? No different when it was a painting. Someone could sing and be influenced the wrong way. I remember when we did Mercy here years ago, I remember we had a person on media staff. He worked for Atlantic Records. He was in the A&R department. And so I said, look, I need some real edgy music. He said, I'll get you that. I said, okay, no problem. Because I was looking to do that where this event we were doing here with the choir. And I wanted something that was real edgy, and I wanted that. I said, give me some rock music, whatever. He said, I can get that. Well, man, I played one, and I said, I can't play it. My spirit was like, no. There was a bad spirit about it. But then there was one, it was something, and it was okay. I mean, when I say okay, the spirit of it was edgy, but it didn't jar my spirit. And Pastor Clint was okay with it. So let's did you get over to Romans 8?
Yeah.
Let's look at this here. So we have to control our thoughts. Romans 8, we're talking about something that's spiritual. Thoughts are spiritual. Romans 8, and let's look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, to be carnally minded or fleshly minded, it says, is death. Well, you know, let me ask it this way. Somebody may say, well, you know, did that cause actual death? Well, you know what? There are people that have entertained a thought and it has caused their death because of that thought. So in actuality, yes, it could cause one's death by them entertaining an ungodly thought. And then we have here where it says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So our mind here, when it talks about somebody who's carnally minded or somebody who's spiritually minded, your mind is the connector here between that and your spirit. You are a spirit. So your mind is the connection here. Let me read some, I'm just going to highlight some scripture that talks about the mind or thoughts. Psalm 139:17. You can write these down. I'm just going to go quick here. Psalm 139:17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. So here the psalmist refers to his words as his thoughts. See, God's word is his thoughts. Inspired the writers to pen them. Proverbs 15:26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. See, and this is talking about thoughts and words. See? You can turn to this, Hebrews 3:1. This is a familiar scripture verse. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Now, that word consider in the Greek means to consider attentively. It means to fix one's eyes or mind upon. So when we consider something, you know, even in today's English language, when we say I considered something, that means I paid attention to it. That means I fixed my mind on that. Right? So when we consider, this says here, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, that means we're to set our thinking upon him, upon the Lord and his word, you could say. So here, I want to just continue here. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4. We highlighted this, but I want us to look at this a little bit. I think it'll help us to look at what's the difference between soul and spirit. Hebrews chapter 4 helps us here. It says, for the word of God is quick, or you could say living or life-giving, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we can see here the scripture talks about the soul and the spirit. That means they're not the same. They're not the same. Some may tell you they are. It's not. The scripture in other places, it defines. There's a difference between soul and spirit. And here's how the scripture actually begins to give us some insight as to the difference. What does it say? It divides asunder soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. So it uses this example of the joints and marrow similar to soul and spirit. Joints and marrow, anybody knows what the joint is? The marrow is what? It's the core or the center of the bone. You know, I'm not a doctor, but you have an outer part, and then they say there's soft bone within, and then there's this marrow within that. But they're close to one another. They touch one another. They're connected, but they're different. So soul and spirit are what? Connected. The mind connects or touches your spirit, but they're different. And what you think on opens your heart up to it. And that's why it's important that we watch what we touch, what we think on, what we entertain, because it can open your heart up to it. See? Let's go back. Let's look at this again. Why don't you read that with me? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. What does Isaiah 26:3? What does it say? I'll help you out. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind thinks about him every now and then. No, stayed on thee. He said he will keep you in perfect peace, those that keep their minds stayed on him. Let's go over here. There's to Matthew chapter 18. So we're talking about, where does a thought come from? It's spiritual. Its source is spiritual. The source of thoughts are spiritual. Some of us said, where did that thought come from? See, the more we are transformed and our mind is changed, then we'll be able to determine whether that was a good source or not. Whether I should do what, as the scripture says, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. So the more you have God's thoughts in you and it transforms your mind, you'll be able to determine, oh no, I'm not thinking on that. I'm not entertaining that. No, that's not God's heart. That's not his intentions. That's not his thoughts. So Matthew 18. You know, sometimes when you look at, you know, Pastor Clint used to use this term. He said, you know, the scripture is like a diamond, a multifaceted. You look at it one way, you can see something, some insight or light. You look at it another way, you can see some light. So just looking at this particular topic on the mind and our thinking, look at Matthew 18 and verse 19. Or we could start with verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 19, again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as what?
Touching.
Touching. Say touching.
Touching.
Touching anything. See, when we agree on something and we come together in faith, it's something that we have thought about, we've agreed upon, now we're touching it. See? So this is why when we say, when we think about something, we touch something that's spiritual. And that's why it's very important. This is why when you have, you know, even when you look at Genesis chapter 11 and you talk about the Tower of Babel, they were of one speech and one mind. And it's in the Lord said he had to come down and disrupt it because there wasn't anything that they could do, not do, that they did what? That they imagined. So this is why it's important that we understand that when we come into agreement, good or bad, we're touching the source of something that's spiritual. And you're letting it into your heart. See, everybody getting a hold of this a little bit? And now think about this here. Look at verse 20. Well, let me finish. It says, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Four is connecting the previous verse. It's connecting the thought. Is it not? He's saying, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. When we touch and agree in his name, we're touching him. We're touching him. Why? He said, I'm in the midst now of your agreement. We've opened ourselves up to him because we've touched him. See, and that's why I say when you touch and agree on something negative or an ungodly source, you've now opened yourself up to your adversary because you've touched the author of it, the one that's inspiring it. You've touched it, and now you've opened yourself up to it. See, thoughts are spiritual, and we need to know that. That can go with a whole lot of stuff. It can go with fear. It can go with worry. We can go over. I'm going to finish up. We'll look at Philippians. Be anxious for nothing. Right? But then when it gets down in what verse 8, it says, finally, my brethren, think on these things. Don't think on this. Touch this. See? Right? I'm going to highlight some things here and just finishing up. But what in throughout Jesus' ministry, when he was teaching, what did it say? He knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts, right? And then he would get on their case, right? He knew their thoughts. I'm just reading, you know, we've spent a lot of time last set of messages that we did on according to your faith, but look at Matthew chapter 9. And, you know, that whole chapter is so wonderful. It talks about, you know, receiving according to your faith. But look here, they bring the man sick of the palsy. And he said, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh boy, that stirred up a hornet's nest right there. And what happened? And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And what does it say? And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? See, so they touched something evil. Here's another one. Let's look at this particular account. Look at your Matthew. Go over to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. And this is the account of Jesus walking on the water. And look at verse 28 or 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And what happened? And Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So his thinking's right, right? His mind's right. It affected his faith. His believing, I'm walking on the water. And he was. What happened? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? He was afraid. So he saw something and he began to entertain that. And he what? He touched it. It touched his heart. It affected his heart. What happened? He was afraid and beginning to sink. Didn't say he sank. He began to sink. And he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" You're thinking. Wherefore didst thou doubt? See? So we can think some thoughts, cause us to doubt and get out of faith. See, so thoughts are spiritual, just like God's thoughts are spiritual. To be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded, still it's spiritual, it's death. It brings death into your spirit. See? So let's finish up here. Let's go over to Philippians. So we're looking at the connection between our soul and our spirit. Philippians chapter 4. And let's look at 6, 7, and 8. It says, "Be careful," or "be anxious for nothing." Some of them just say, "No thought." Don't be anxious for not one thing. I think some translations say, "Don't worry about one thing, not one thing." "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." That's what we're to think on. So somebody might say, "Well, you know, I have a problem wrestling with this." Feed on his thoughts. Continually feed on his thoughts, and transformation will take place. It will change you into another person. It literally will change you and your thinking to be different. This is really what I believe the devil fights so hard at. Let me read. I want you to turn here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, thinking about this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 9. And 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10. This is the King James. It says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no what? Divisions among you. How do divisions come about? Bad thinking. I think this, you think that, we got a division, right? But that you be perfectly joined together, what? In the same mind and in the same judgment. Same mind, same judgment. Turn over to Titus. Just a couple of scriptures and we're finished. Titus, important what we think. You know, that can answer some questions about spouses. Man, I wish my husband would do this or think this. I wish my wife would do that. Transformation will change you into another person. If you think on his word, meditate on his word, it will change you. Titus chapter 1 and verse 15 says, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving. See, so when we don't believe his thoughts, it defiles us because we are carnally minded. We touch something that defiles us. See this here? So it says, unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their what? Their mind and conscience is defiled. So when we touch things that are not godly, it defiles your mind and your spirit. They're connected. They're close, but when you open your mind up to something that's ungodly, it affects your spirit. This is what the scripture's saying here. Right? I think I'm going to call it a day here because there's a lot. I just want you to think about where thoughts come from, beginning to weigh where those thoughts come from, and that thoughts are spiritual. The thoughts that we get are spiritual in nature. The source of those thoughts are spiritual. You have an adversary. You are a spirit. And thoughts that come into your mind are spiritual and come from either your adversary or from God. And you need to know the difference. And you need to know that it can impact your faith. What you think and what you meditate on will affect your believing and affect your faith. I hope you get a little something out of this today. Something a little more what I would call advanced teaching in the sense of touching on thoughts. Sometimes we don't think about it. But even Jesus said, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or drink or so forth. He said, don't take those thoughts. For he cares for us. And he wants us to be free and live a free life and a blessed life. You know, if we take thoughts of anxiety and we take thoughts of worry instead of faith, you see, when we constantly meditate on something and we think, I don't know how we're going to pay these bills. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how we're going to do this. If you constantly think that or you constantly meditate upon it, it will affect you're believing, it'll affect what you say. Because you'll start saying, I don't think we can do this. I don't think we can afford this. I don't think we'll ever get here. But when we begin to get enough of God's word, I've been saying this in the healing class, if you get enough of God's word long enough, it will heal your body. If you get enough of God's word long enough, it'll make you wise. If you get enough of God's word long enough, it'll make you prosperous. But you've got to get enough of his word in you to transform and change your thinking, which will begin to change your believing, which will begin to change your saying. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is quick and alive and sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I thank you, Father, that our thinking is changing. We're being transformed into Christ-likeness in our walk, in our talk, in our thinking. And I thank you, Father, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. I thank you that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I thank you, Father, for it. Thank you that we're believers and not doubters, and we're overcomers in this world, even by our faith. And we thank you for it. We seal these words to everyone's thinking and hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm going to spend some time here. I am. I really believe that this will be impactful to you to see. You know, some of us, we see, well, yeah, I know I'm supposed to read the word, but reading the word is tied to transformation. Feeding on the word is tied to your transformation, your change. So you might be saying, well, I'm doing all right, but you can do better. You can do greater. You can do greater things for God because this transformation is taking place.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Say, I'm being changed by the word of God. It's changing my thinking. It's changing my believing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.